Hello, Dexter parents. This is Amy Lamb welcoming you to Podcast 2 of the It's a Journey podcast series. Today, we are focusing in on communication with our teens. We all know that communicating with teens is no easy process. Most of us have started the day with a less than chatty teen who then, when they return from school, tell us that their day was fine and they did nothing. I think we can all rest assured that they did indeed do something, they're just not that eager to share with us like they used to be. Then we have the day where we come home and we can tell that they're a little off. Maybe they're a little extra moody or maybe more quiet than normal. Sometimes when our teens aren't sharing with us openly, they actually have some pretty good reasons, at least what they think are some pretty good reasons. So one thing we should probably remember is that as long as they've been living with us, they've been studying us as their parents. So they've learned what things get praised and what things won't. And unfortunately, many teens have developed a sense of no matter what they say, they're not going to be heard correctly. So they know that when they tell us for the third time this week they forgot their gym clothes at home, it's pretty likely that our response might be the same as the other two times, with a simple, you have to be better prepared. They might anticipate getting grounded for not doing well on a test or having missing work. They might be afraid that if they share something that's going on at school, either with themselves or a friend, that we might overreact or perhaps share the information with someone else, and they don't want that to happen yet. So it's important that we understand a little bit about their perspective and where they come from. We have to also remember that we as parents are human too. Sometimes we don't have the best of days, or information might come to us at the wrong time, and we have a reaction that is not helpful to the situation. So what can we do to be intentional about trying to keep the lines of communication open? Today we're going to spend a little bit of time exploring strategies to open up those communication lines. One strategy is to give our teens some advance notice that we would like to talk with them about something. So remember those gym clothes that were left at home that they're wanting you to drop off for the third time this week? A response such as, sure, I'll drop them off on my way through town. Can we talk tonight about what we can do so that you can have everything when you leave for school in the morning? Maybe a better response. This generation does like to think about things before they discuss it. So giving them some time to think about it might decrease their defensiveness and also help them identify some of their own strategies so that we're not just having to give them ours. It increases buy-in because it was their idea, so it has a better chance of being successful. And it also helps us as parents to appear to be more understanding and supportive of them and helping them grow. Another thing we know is that no one likes to be talked at, and that includes teens. Knowing that they are used to the fast-paced internet where they can quickly get any information they want regarding anything they want to know, they're bored and they will tune out during long lectures. It's about conversation, which is an exchange of ideas. So it's important to try and give them a chance to talk to and share their thoughts. It can be helpful if we as parents try to condense our thoughts into a few key points and give them the opportunity to respond. It can also help to reduce miscommunications along the way. It gives us insight into how they're processing things, and it ensures that they are engaging in the conversation rather than just tuning us out. The next thing that I think is important for us to talk about is controlling emotions. And this goes for both parents and teens. Teens sometimes think that we as parents are going to freak out. We as parents worry that there are some tough topics that our teens might not want to talk with us about. And so a great strategy here is coming up with a phrase that you can share with your teen in advance that gets you into the don't freak out mindset. Something like, Mom, I need to tell you something and I need you not to overreact. Or, Dad, I need to tell you something that might upset you, and I want you to hear me out before you respond. Whatever phrase works for you is great. Mine is, Mom, I need to talk to you about something, and I need you not to freak out. It might be funny, But for me, it prepares me for that I might not like what I'm about to hear, and it also makes me grateful that they're sharing. So I need to take advantage of that opportunity. The environment can also make a difference in communication. This might seem strange, but walking and talking can be a great way to get teens to open up. Boys are especially a little bit more open to talking when they're active. So you can try going for a walk, maybe play some ping pong, shoot baskets. Whatever they enjoy that you can join in on can be a strategy of a way to get them to open up with you. Also, it's amazing what can happen by just being around them. You never know when they might remember something or all of a sudden be ready to talk. If you're working at home and they're studying, try just being in the same room with each other. Maybe they'll look up from their computer and start telling you about something that happened in class that day or ask you a question to get your opinion on it. Just being in the same space with each other can actually promote communication, and it can be helpful to understand a little bit about what's going on in their daily life. Another one is to try and show interest in what interests them. Whether it's particular music or a sport, a video game, when we show them that we have an interest in what they're interested in, it builds that connection. They enjoy sharing things that they like with us. They might not admit it right away, but they really do. I know for myself personally, I have a game on my phone that I play with my son. I can play it when I'm traveling. I can play it when we're at home with them. And it's amazing the different conversations that we can have as we do that. And I'm awful at it. I mean, I really have zero gaming ability, but it doesn't matter. One, it's good for him to see that I'm not good at everything. Two, it gives me some insight into this game that he's kind of enthralled with right now. And three, it does open up the lines of communication. So it kind of serves multiple purposes. Creating a space for more family time can also help to open up some of those lines of communication. And trust me, I know it is not easy with middle school and high school schedules for sports, clubs, school. Even if there is just one night a week where you might be able to have dinner together, or maybe it's breakfast, it can be a great time to spark conversation. Although I've found that teens are less chatty in the morning, sometimes due to that lack of sleep, which we will be talking about at some point. But if we really want to think about trying to create that space, it's nice to think about where we might be able to fit it in. If you really want to go off the charts with this suggestion, you can try a tech-free day, which can be really fun to see how long you can go without your device. Typically, it works better on the weekends, but not always. But I think different ways that we might be able to try and reduce the distractions and open up some of those lines of communication, it's definitely worth it. And I know that Mr. Grams has talked before about Tech Day Tuesday talks, which can be a really nice strategy if that's something that you want to talk about in terms of how the family uses technology and those sorts of pieces. So thinking about different ways that you can embed conversation within those meal times or whatever the case might be would be a really great approach to think about. Another part of our daily routine that can be a great time to strike up a conversation is driving. Teens are actually more likely to let their guard down in this kind of a scenario. We're trapped in a large space with each other, and you really can't have eye contact. So it's a time where sometimes those uncomfortable topics seem a little bit easier for our teen to bring up. The key is to try and let the conversation flow naturally and to take advantage of the opportunities when they arise. The more we push, it seems like the more they shut down. So the key is to just try and let them know that we're here and we're listening whenever they're ready to talk. For those of you who might be sitting there thinking, that's not going to work because my teen is constantly on their phone when we're driving, take advantage of the fact that they're going to be driving soon. So tell them no more devices in the front seat because you need to learn how to see the rules of the road before you get behind the wheel yourself. That might also be an opportunity for conversation to occur. There's a quote that I've always loved. It says, "Listen earnestly to anything your children want to tell you, no matter what. If you don't listen eagerly to the little stuff when they are little, they won't tell you the big stuff when they are big, because to them, it's always been big stuff." Even though our teens might be bigger than us, they still need us. They need our guidance to try and find their way through opportunities and obstacles that they encounter. And it's important for us to think about ways that we might be able to support them in doing just that. Something that's important to note about these strategies is what might work for you at one point in time may all of a sudden stop working. So we need to always be paying attention and trying to think about new ways that we can promote our teen to try and open up. So for those of you who are thinking, "I'm still trying to figure out how to get beyond the fine, whatever, shutting themselves in their room, slamming doors," I think it's important to recognize that when our teens are acting out, it is okay to call them on it. It's okay to say, "You're being incredibly disrespectful right now, and I'm not going to tolerate it. When you're ready to talk, let me know." It does cause them to do a little bit of reflection on their own, and eventually they will come to you and say, "I'm sorry." At least, hopefully, that's the case. As we think about just some general overarching thoughts to communication, thinking about what works best for your family in terms of trying to spend time together and break down some of those barriers that might get in our way of talking with each other and communicating as a family. Thinking about avoiding those lectures and instead looking for opportunities to drop in our advice a little bit more subtly. I like to think of it as planting seeds. I might have to plant a lot of seeds, but eventually one may start to grow. Lectures don't really work for many of us, and if the majority of us think back to when we were teens, we probably can remember some of those lectures we might have gotten ourselves. This last piece, I think, is something that your teen might be a little shocked by, and that's when we really work to try and understand things from their perspective. The truth of the matter is, we really don't understand the world that our teens are growing up in. We're going through it at a very different point in time in our particular journey. And it is very different from when we were teens. The pressures they feel, the amount of things that's coming at them at any particular time, and just the way the world around them is operating is very different than it was when we were all growing up. So trying to get a bit more information from them on what they feel and how they're experiencing things and asking them to share their perspective with us so that we can try to understand breaks down one of those very key things that we know about teenagers. They are convinced that we as parents don't understand them. So when we ask for their perspective to try and understand where they're coming from a little bit more, we can immediately break down one of those barriers and get a little bit more input in terms of where they're at, what they're thinking, and how we might be able to help them reframe the situation. For those of you who might be interested in learning a little bit more about different strategies, techniques that you might be able to use when trying to communicate with your teenagers, there's a couple of books that are really wonderful. One, The Five Love Languages of Teenagers by Gary Chapman, can be a really nice resource to giving you a little bit more in terms of the mindset that your teen might be coming from and the way in which we might be able to help to turn their perspective around a little bit through our open communication with them. There's also some books that tailor towards communication, whether it be with teen boys or teen girls, because sometimes they need something just a little bit different from us. I encourage you to go out and look at what resources are out there and try and find something to learn more about it, as well as talk to other parents about what works for them. Thank you, everyone, for listening in.